Hello there, I'm Dr. Curtis Finch, Superintendent of the Deer Valley Unified School District. Welcome to a brand new episode of the award-winning Soup Scoop Podcast. The CTE, or Career and Technical Education Expo, is coming to the Innovation Center on October 20th. All students are welcome to attend, but the expo is especially valuable for middle school and high school students as they can see the dozens of CTE programs DVUSD has to offer. From accounting to stagecraft and everything in between, CTE programs help students be career and college ready as they conclude their high school experience. On this episode of the Soup Scoop Podcast, we'll get to know more about some of the CTE programs as well as the instructors who play an important role in getting students ready for the careers they've dreamed about. We'll start at Sandra Day O'Connor High School, where we'll learn about two completely different fields, accounting and media production. But as you will hear from teachers Brad Meese and Tiffany Kurtz, even though the two fields produce two very different career paths, students immerse themselves in proven methods to not only get the job done, but to get the job done well.
Brad Meese, I teach film and TV production here at Sandra Day O'Connor High School. I've been in public education in one way or another for about 13 years now, and so more recently have been in career and technical education, teaching film and TV, but I've taught other subjects before then, but I've always had a passion and a lot of experience in film and TV production, a lot of video editing, and where my love for CTE really began was as a student in a media productions class my senior year, and that's where I really discovered that passion that I had for myself, and so to be back in that classroom as the teacher now is really special.
That is unique. I like that. We have a second guest. Introduce yourself and tell us about your journey.
Hey, I'm Tiffany Kurtz. I teach the accounting program here at O'Connor High School. I'm actually a DVUSD graduate. I took an accounting class when I was in high school at Goldwater. And that class made me switch my major from secondary education to accounting. I got my degree in accounting, spent several years in industry, and then decided I did want that classroom experience. So now I have the opportunity to teach a version of the class that I took in high school.
Well, that is a unique story. We have two all-stars here. Talk a little bit, Bradley, about your about what the kid experiences in your program.
Yeah, so for our students, it's a lot of creativity in film and TV production. So we kind of, we really do pull back the curtain on that industry. And so they get to see, I always joke with my students at the beginning of the year that that this class will ruin movie watching for you. That you won't be able to watch movies the same way. And then sure enough, they come back and say, yeah, Mr. Meese, I was watching the movie this weekend, and all I could notice was the camera angles or the compositional techniques or what have you.
And it took 2 hours to go. Yeah,
exactly.
Fell out of the plane.
I annoyed all my family members, yeah. But at the same time, again, it's only half jokingly, because you still appreciate the movies, but on a deeper level now, actually. You realize the magic behind it all. And so through a series of projects, they create commercials, music videos, movie trailers. Their short film is their big kind of capstone project at the end of the year. Radio dramas, podcasts, all these different things using in industry technology in order to not just learn about the industry, and although we do a lot of book work along those lines, but actually hands-on experience of what those professionals actually do and create.
I think you also have a TV studio here, correct?
Talk a little bit about that. So Wingspan is the name of our morning announcements. So we do the video announcements, on a weekly basis here. And so, yeah, we're hand-in-hand with lots of different clubs, and administrators will come to us and say, we need a promo on this, or just delivering the announcements. In fact, the CTE Expo that's coming up, the district reached out to us for a promo video for that, and so our students were creating that. So, yeah, we get, again, that work-based learning where they actually have a client that they're working for. It's not just for
the sake of the great book. And it's a full-blown studio. It has all the controls and everything. I've actually been in it. It's got the green wall. And
absolutely. Yeah, lots of cameras. Yeah, we've got a roadcaster, TriCaster. So, they get that hands-on experience with real technology using Adobe Premiere Pro, which is the industry standard software that is utilized. So, yeah, I tell my students that, too. It's not like they have a junior level, a training level that they're on. They're using the same exact stuff that industry professionals are using.
Tomorrow.
That's great. The idea. Yeah.
Talk a little bit about your accounting classes and your that division. What do the students experience here?
So a lot of times the students show up really scared because they're afraid that they just signed up for an extra math class. We don't do a lot of math. There's not a lot of complex math involved. They get to learn how businesses operate, how businesses keep track of their data and their records so that they can prepare accurate financial statements. And then as they grow and progress through the course, we get experience with Eagle Ink, which is our t-shirt printing program here on campus. So our accounting students get to do the invoicing, receive payments, and process those things through QuickBooks. So again, getting that work-based learning experience and real-world skills that they can take with them. And then the third year of our program is partnering with the IRS VITA program, so Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. And those students are actually learning to prepare taxes, and they do prepare and file taxes for community members.
I'll be darned. You are partnering with the government. Do they send you the people, or how do you get those customers? Do you advertise?
We advertise. So this last year, we were actually what they call an open site. So it was actually published on the IRS's website. So anybody who was looking for one of the volunteer income tax assistance sites was able to look us up and come. In the past, we've mostly worked with DVUSD members, so people from other campuses that will come in and have the kids prepare their returns. But this year we had a lot more outside involvement, which was a really cool experience for the students to be able to interact with them and then prepare their taxes.
Sure. So the what's your role in that? So does a student take over the project and then you kind of double check their work, or you just hope that it's right?
So I'm their site coordinator. So the students all have to go through the IRS's certification process to be certified in ethics, in doing the intake interviews, and then preparing the actual taxes. So the student will sit with the taxpayer, do the interview, collect all the information. They bring it back to the classroom. They prepare the tax return. I'm here to answer any questions, review as they go, and then it is quality reviewed by another person. Okay. So a second, either student or myself will do the quality review on it to make sure everything is good to go before it is presented back to the taxpayer to submit.
Similar to real life.
Right.
That's how it's done in the shops as well.
Yeah.
All right. Very interesting. Talk a little bit about, Brad, talk a little bit about your use of technology and the ever-changing technology landscape. You could, AI, artificial intelligence, I'm sure is becoming a variable in your equation.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about how you work with the kids and teach them to use it correctly and to make a better product for the customer.
Yeah. AI is... It is that, yeah, we're still discovering just as a society, like, what role it's going to play, and certainly in creative fields like film and television, it can be a boogeyman, and there are strong feelings about that, like, it has no place in here, and we've had those discussions in class where students kind of take different sides, and to what extent should artificial intelligence be allowed in creative industries like ours. But as far as teaching the students, we do take a limited role in the AI, but it's definitely not shut it out completely. Sometimes it's helpful as an idea generator just to kind of get going, and we want to do this for kind of a skit, or we want to do this for a podcast, but we can't fully flesh it out quite yet, and so AI can be helpful in doing that. There are AI tools that are now incorporated into the video editing software that we use that can be really helpful, that, you know, maybe you have a certain video clip that only goes so far, but you want to extend it just a little bit more, and it's impossible to go back and recreate, but AI will actually extend it a little bit more for you. So it really is fascinating in what it can do, and I love it for the sake that it can kind of level the playing field a little bit, that that it allows the ideas that students can have to come to life, even though maybe they don't fully have all the resources or the finances that maybe big shots might have.
Right,
elsewhere.
I imagine it improves their confidence,
yes.
I would assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
definitely.
Basically AI is a collection of what the community's thinking.
Right.
A big survey.
Right, yeah.
So when a kid uses, they can say, oh, my idea wasn't that dumb.
Right, yeah.
People
yeah,
are
yeah,
doing
yeah,
the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, sure, for sure, okay. Yeah. And so okay. As a supplementary tool, it could be really helpful, just trying not to cross that line where it's just sucking out all the creativity out of the room. We don't want that.
Right. Talk a little bit about, both of you are involved in student organizations, so talk a little bit about the impact of competitions against other schools, against obviously the state and the nation. We have a bunch of opportunities for students.
Here at O'Connor, we have Future Business Leaders of America, and they have it on their campuses as well, but our FBLA students have the opportunity to compete with other students across the state in different events. There are events in accounting, there's a financial statement analysis events, there are marketing events. So there's a variety of different opportunities for students to pick the area that interests them the most, and then they have the ability to prepare those projects and then present them to judges. So they're also getting feedback from other people on how well they did, so they can make improvements. And then we typically have, the last several years, we've had between 20 and 25 students who've qualified to move on to the national conference over the summer. So those students get to compete then at the national level. This past year, we had two students place in the top 10 at nationals. So that was just a really cool opportunity for those students to continue on with their competitions to future levels of the competition. But then also when you go to those events, they get to network with students and industry professionals from around the state and then around the nation to be able to kind of build their portfolio of skills and networking.
Yeah, I've been involved as a judge along the journey. I'm coming to the practice judge. Say, hey, can you come check out the kids' stuff? And how can you? And I actually enjoy it. You get to see their creativity. You get to see what they're thinking. And obviously, public speaking skills are a plus in the world anyway. So it's a good opportunity to get their feet wet when talking in front of others.
The students get really excited to take what they've done in the classroom and turn it into a competitive event that they get to take outside of the classroom and really see real world how they're doing.
Yeah.
So the kid thinks of the project and then you kind of help them? Is that how it works? Or is it a chicken or the egg here?
They get different prompts from FBLA. So the prompt might say that they need to create a website about a family entertainment center. And then beyond that, the possibilities are endless for them. They can create whatever thing they want, and they get to build that however
they prefer. So it's probably in a rubric. This is kind of what we're looking for.
Okay. Yeah, and then they get to be creative within that.
Okay. Talk a little bit about, well, either one of you, talk about the internships that are available for the seniors or the bigger kids as they develop their skill sets. Are there opportunities for kids to go out and actually rub elbows with the actual industry?
It's a little difficult in accounting just because those accounting firms don't often want individuals under the age of 18 there. So sometimes with our seniors, some of them are able to find internships, and I do have several students who have done internships that they've been able to bring back to us. As far as the DVUSD internship, typically that one, those students get to work more heavily with our Eagle Ink print shop here on campus, so working more with some of those internal clients that we work with for that.
How about in the film or promotional industry?
Yeah, that can be a difficult one as well. But going back to the CTSOs and the networking opportunities there, it does open doors for potential contact information, especially in film and TV. I know this is said of other industries, and it's true there too, but it's who you know, right, and those connections. And not that it's a replacement for your skills or talents, but you need someone to notice that you have them. And so, yeah, we do have guest speakers and those from the industry that come out and visit our classrooms. And so getting those internships can be few and far between, but we're always on the lookout for that and holding advisory councils as well with industry professionals in the community to try to open those doors for students.
Talk a little bit more about that, because I do get that question a lot from folks that don't really understand how the school works for the community. So let's say a local business person is listening to this podcast. How would they even try to connect with a school if they wanted a student to come to work at their business or to come do a field trip, or they could come speak at your speak in your class, or maybe be a judge at CSCOs? What do you recommend for a business? How do you connect to a school?
Well, we have, like you mentioned, our advisory councils, so they could reach out to any one of us or to cte@dvusd.org. And they can get added to that advisory council list. And once a year, we meet with all those industry professionals. And it's really about learning from them what they need our students to be able to do. So what skills do you want us to focus on? So for example, with accounting, I've always heard that they want Microsoft Office certifications. And so that is now what we offer our students certifications in. And then that's also an opportunity for them to say, hey, well, can I come into your classroom and speak? And absolutely, we love having guest speakers. We love getting industry people in with our students so they can see what that career looks like. And then taking field trips to those places of business to see what they're doing and offering job opportunities to students or internship opportunities, whatever they have available.
The whole point of high school is to open a kid's eyes at the opportunities. And that's one of the beauties of a big district like ours, and O'Connor being a comprehensive high school. We also have West Mech opportunities. you have any kind of curriculum that you could think of is at a big high school. And so the career world, the career industry, I think AI is actually having an impact on it, on CTE. Talk about the future of CTE and where you think it's going, with maybe artificial intelligence being a variable in the equation. Maybe this industry over here is not going to even exist 20 years from now. We really don't know. What's your prediction for the future? I'd like to know.
Well, you find the crystal ball, let me know.
Yeah, for sure.
I think AI is the next iteration in technological developments. We saw calculators come in and then computers come in, and accounting is, we don't use pen and paper and a ledger anymore and fill that out. We have software systems that do that for us. But just like you don't hand a first grader a calculator and say, look, you can do multiplication now, you still have to teach them what's happening. You can't just skip the how and the why of what's happening behind the scenes and go straight to the technology.
Yeah, and I think just with career and technical education, students always have that burning question, and I think we all do, like, why am I learning this, or when am I going to use this in my life? And I think sometimes teachers can be offended by that question just because it's asked rudely or kind of flippantly, you know. But the question itself is actually 100% fair, right? And the relevance of what we're learning, and what I love about CTE, career and technical education, is that, I mean, it's in the name. We're preparing you for an actual career. And so those advisory councils help us to know how is that career changing over time so we can adapt, you know, be it AI or anything else. I mentioned how I was in a media productions class as a student, but that was a very different class than the one I teach now. You know, technology has changed. And so I just love what CTE offers students. And in addition to the skills they learn and the things that they learn, it's really about self-discovery. Like, what do I love? What am I passionate about? And so we all know people, and I'm certainly one of them, where you went out into the world thinking, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to dedicate my life to, and then somewhere along the line realize, well, maybe not, you know, and that's okay, and that happens, that's not a bad thing, and we're grateful we have the freedom to kind of change course. But I tell my students, CTE allows you to make those discoveries in an earlier season of your life, so there isn't so much maybe trial and error later on when you're out in the real world. You already know, I thought I would love film and TV, and I was right, I'm loving it, or no, actually, sports medicine showed me I'm fascinated by the human body, and so just to be able to try your hand at all these different careers out there and discover that about yourself earlier on is just a great gift.
You know? It's all about being a lifelong learner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe last question, either one of you can maybe hit this, is I think something that we do really well as a district is think about and honor soft skills. Mm-hmm. Because if we can teach you how to teach yourself and how you can be a digger yourself, how you can be a learner yourself, it carries on once we pass you off to society. So how important are those soft skills for our industry, and particularly yours?
Oh, extremely important, extremely important. And that really kind of goes back to what we talked about with the CTSOs, with our FBL, Future Business Leaders of America competitions. And Mr. Meese does Skills USA, so they have the same kind of thing. We give them a prompt, and then they develop their project. I don't give them all the answers. I don't tell them what to do next. They have to be able to do the research and figure it out and put that together and present it to a judge. So they need all of those soft skills, those communication skills, the ability to present themselves, the ability to figure things out. And they have to use and practice that in order to be successful, because that is really what makes us a lifelong learner. Because we talked about with AI development, it's going to continue to evolve. We are going to continue to see changes. So you can't just, there's never a point at which you've learned it all and you don't have to continue learning. But there kind of does come a point where a teacher isn't holding your hand to make it happen anymore, and you have to be able to do that on your own.
Yeah. How's the industry future look as we think about the impact of soft skills?
Yes. So in our most recent, and this was last year, but our most recent advisory council, I remember that's when the industry professionals said, you know, we can teach them technical expertise that's specific to that job or that equipment or something. And they're like, that part's easy. It's the soft skills that they come with or don't come with that is harder. And so, yeah, learning how to manage your time effectively, how to craft a well-worded email, you know, to request something that you're looking for, and being able to communicate with others. I try to greet my students with a handshake or fist bump at the door each day and practice that eye contact and communicating. So, yeah, that's a huge part of career and technical education across the board, whatever the subject may be, is teaching those soft skills and those professional skills is part of our rubric and our focus.
Thanks again for visiting with me. If this podcast blows up, I'll be your agent, okay?
That's great. You got it.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
CTE accounting programs are available at O'Connor and Aspire, while media production programs are available at O'Connor, Barry Goldwater, Boulder Creek, and Mountain Ridge High Schools. Also at Barry Goldwater, and exclusively at Barry Goldwater, you can take CTE programs in the construction technologies and law and public safety. Travis Carpenter teaches both programs, and he has plenty to say about the opportunities they offer kids.
Yeah, so I'm Travis Carpenter. I teach law and public safety here at the Barry Goldwater High School. This is my eighth year here. Love it. My background to get here, worked for the state here in Arizona, county, a couple of small law enforcement agencies. And then made a career change. So this is my second career, I haven't worked a day since I got here. But I sure do spend an awful lot of time here. I say that because I was told if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Just having a lot of fun with it. The program here for law and public safety, it's a 2-year program. It's crosswalked at every level with dual enrollment. So not only are they able to get their high school credits, but they can also get college credit if they choose to fill out that paperwork. We also have some pretty robust internships that get students out in the workplace, working with employers in the career field or near peer career field. The back end of the program, if you're a course completer, we get a whole slew of industry relevant certifications coming out of it. The intro and the advanced, if a student just takes those 2 years, they get unarmed security certification that they can, as soon as they turn 18, they can turn in their paperwork and they can start working unarmed security, plus a whole bunch of other really good stuff. The other cool part is we get students that, maybe they don't know. I really like what we're doing, but I don't know if I want to go the law and public safety route. We have those really deep conversations. We try and bring those ideas and broaden them out and go, hey guys, don't just think you have to be the cop on the street, because that's not a job for everybody, and that's okay. That's kind of where we're at.
Nice. So using your same logic then, yeah. I'm assuming you spend a lot of time with kids, not only teaching the skills, but maybe teaching the importance of soft skills. Because if you can work well with others, if you can work in a team, if you can problem solve, if you can listen to others, if you can take direction, if you can give direction, those qualities apply everywhere.
1,000%. We call workplace and employability skills now, because It is a skill that 1,000%, I don't care what you do, I don't care what your job is, that's the part that an employer doesn't have time to teach you. Full transparency, today we're going to be doing handcuffing. We're introducing it. That's a quote, hard skill, if you will. Is it cool? Is it awesome? Do kids get excited to learn it? Do I get excited to teach it? Absolutely, of course. That being said, though, when a kid goes to the police academy, when a kid goes to FLETC for federal law enforcement, whatever it is, they're going to get taught how to do it again, because from the time they're, 15, 16, 17, 18 to whenever they get there, maybe it changes, and that's fine. The thing that an employer, whoever the employer is, doesn't have time to teach somebody is get to work on time. Be willing to be professional. Be willing to do what's asked and whatever that may be. Those are the things that we really do spend a whole bunch of time on. One of the flexes that I like to point to, and I'll show you over here. Your listeners can't see it, but we've got an alumni wall that we're building, and I'll point out two of our students here that are former students, now alumni, that are in uniform. We've got two students. We've gone 2 for 2 with students getting hired by the Phoenix Police Department, who then go 2 for 2 with getting the Woman in Blue Award. And these two students that I'm pointing to over here, they built those employability skills. They built that confidence in themselves to say, hey, this is really, I like this, is really what I want to do. And now they're working for the Phoenix Police Department, and they've got some pretty awesome rewards and awards. And, you know, the city's safer because they're there. And we keep wanting to send people into that career field because we need awesome people that can think on their feet, that can think about what is right, not only legally, lawfully, and all that good stuff, but what's a good decision for the public and society as a whole. I really think that's kind of where we're at, and that's what we work on.
Goldwater here is really charging forward and making progress. Talk a little bit about the school in general and how you fit in as a teacher. Obviously, you have a ton of energy. Kids, I'm assuming, are packing your rooms. You've built this program from scratch, and now it's a game changer for the community, for the Goldwater community. Talk a little bit about the school in general, just the culture shift and the rise to the top. They were just rated A. They became they're working on A+ School of Excellence. They're working on all these things that are next level. And how does your program fit into the Goldwater push here to the top?
Yeah, you missed one of the really good ones though, boss. Is the Model PLC?
Yes, that just came last week.
Yeah, just got that last week. We're the first in the state, which is pretty awesome. I don't know about you, but I remember my high school experience, and it was very not that I didn't have fun, but it was there were a lot of cliques, there were a lot of stuff like that, and if you didn't fit into one of these little boxes, maybe you didn't have the best time. If a kid tells me that, I can't find my crew at Goldwater, we have a conversation because I'm like, it's a melting pot where everybody finds their people here at Goldwater, which is super awesome. I've worked in a bunch of different districts, and I've been a bunch of different places, and it may sound corny or like you're, I'm setting you up on a line here, boss, but I'm really not. Everybody finds their people here. I don't care what you're into. You're gonna find your crew. It's awesome to see that as students. When a new student comes in, seeing our Goldwater community take these new students that are coming in from all over the country, sometimes all over the world, and going, no, we got you, bud. Here, come sit with us at lunch, or hey, are you into this? And the student goes, yes, I totally am. And they go, cool. Come join our literal club because we have a bunch of different clubs and activities. On the teacher side, I would be hard-pressed to tell you another group of educators that I have worked with that are more so here for the students. I know as public educators, we're all here for the fame and the fortune. That's sarcasm. Doing the right thing for the right reasons, doing the right thing for kids. To empower educators and say, do what's right for kids is amazing. We have, as I said, our Model PLC. We meet weekly at a bare minimum. We meet weekly to talk about what are we doing in our classes? What is, what are we seeing data-wise? Not just the data. What is the pulse of the classes? Which is awesome when you're talking about a student body that, as I said, is so diverse. We get kids that come in with all sorts of different backgrounds, all sorts of different stuff. And as educators, we got to figure out how do we reach these kids where they are and then get them where we want them to be. And then those kids that are doing exactly what we want, how do we make them better? And to have that opportunity to sit down with our peers is invaluable, rather than just existing in these little silos that perhaps some of the other places that I've seen do. How do I see my class? Really, law and public safety, again, much like our student body, is a melting pot. Not only are we covering math, we're covering ELA, we're covering history, we're covering, science in a lot of ways. We start talking about, the forensics and stuff like that. We're covering PE, phys ed, when we're talking about, the physical tasks of all the things that we're doing. So I see my class kind of bringing all of those different pieces in. And for some of our kids, they're finding a home here. And it's really the same way in, and I'm gesturing down the hallway of our 500 hallway, It's really the same for everybody in this hallway. We're, hero support with that, and the kids are the heroes because they're going to be the ones making this world a better place.
Yeah, the school in general is really about opportunity and about the kid being able to connect, if not to a teacher, to a club. The research is overwhelming. If a kid plugs in and feels a sense of belonging, they will succeed.
1,000%.
1,000%. And if you have a staff that believes that, then they see the value in connecting with the kid, providing opportunities, confronting a kid when they're making bad choices. Say, hey, I believe in you. You don't have to make that choice. You can make a better choice. And that's the whole team has to do that. And it's great to see Goldwater buying into that philosophy. And the data supports it to become a professional learning community model school for the state, the first one in the history of Arizona. That's a big deal. And it's really a reflection of how you guys are committed to what's best for kids. And so I just want to thank you for your program. It's amazing. You're hashtag legendary. We appreciate you. And so keep up the great work. Keep spreading the Goldwater joy and the commitment to excellence. Keep up the great work.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Lots of great things are coming out of Goldwater and all of our award-winning CTE programs across the district. Learn more about the CTE Expo on October 20th or about any of our CTE programs at dvsd.org/CTE. You can listen to past episodes of the Soup Scoop podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or at dvsd.org/soupscoop. Tell a friend about the Soup Scoop podcast as we introduce you to the many people and students who make this machine hum daily. I'm Dr. Curtis Finch, and you're all caught up with the Soup Scoop podcast.